when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, everybody listening to Blood River Radio, all of our dear Blood River Radio family out there, it is August the 14th, and year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2021. We always say here, there is no other name under the sun in which man might be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. He died for us while we were yet sinning. He died on the cross. He paid for our sin price. And it's a free gift. I tell you what, he gave us a free gift. All you have to do, in the words of Martin Luther, see if I can remember it, he says something. I've been reading this book on Martin Luther. He says, sola scriptura, sola fide, and sola Deo. What he's saying is, scripture only, faith only, God only. You're reading scripture, comes through faith. Here, you know, reading the scripture, faith comes through reading the scripture. And so you have to know, read the scripture. You have to have faith. And you have to have faith, believe in God. It's more, a lot more complicated than that, according to Luther. But that's pretty much what it is. But anyway, folks, if you will, hang on. You know what we always do here. We always we'll always say a quick prayer. And then we will get on with the operation here tonight. So please bow your head, people. Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller and Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of all of our friends, we come to you, Lord, today. We ask you to protect us, to give us strength, to give us discernment. And those, if we pray, Lord, we know you have promised that we'll get those, that we'll get all those gifts. We will get strength, wisdom, and discernment. And also, Lord, please never let our courage falter, because especially in these days, oh Lord, where we are right on the edge of being severely persecuted, we have a Luciferian, communist, Jewish, Bolshevik, satanic, Satan-worshipping government that's not only controlling Washington, D.C., but controlling the worldwide government. But, Lord, you know all this. Give us, Lord, never let us slack up. Always let us charge forth, riding to the sound of the gunfire. Let us do your will, God. And what we want to do here at Blood River Radio, we want to fight Satan with everything we have. And please stay with us, Lord. Don't never let us forget where all good blessings come from. Never let us doubt you. Stay with us, Lord. Ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, we have two guests coming on tonight that were two semi-co-hosts that hadn't been here in a long time. And you might know, this is the third week of our Charlottesville Memorial. Our first segment for Charlottesville was the last Saturday of July. I believe it was July the 31st. We did it last week, which is the 7th. We did it this week, which is the 14th. And we have two people that come on. You know them very well, and they're getting ready to kind of dissect Charlottesville in any way they want to. What I'm going to do tonight is, you people are really familiar the way I like to do. I like to kind of play the master of ceremonies. So anyway, I was going to read a Bible verse, but I think I would just skip that. It was the one from John where no man, greater love has no man than that man who laid down his life for his brothers, for his friends. And I think we need to remember to do that, you know, because life in this here earth is pretty cheap, And he who loves his life shall lose it. You get all that. Y'all, most of you people out there are pretty familiar with the Bible. But anyway, I'm going to introduce these guests right now. You will surely recognize them. We got Matt the Mole coming on. How are you doing tonight, Mole?
Everything's good, and it's a beautiful day out here.
Well, I tell you what, it wasn't too dang beautiful. I did a 16.5-mile run today. It was hotter than hell out there. Humidity was high. But, hey, I soldiered on through it. I'm glad to have you here tonight. And we have your brother-in-law tonight. We also have Jacob Tyler. How are you doing tonight? I like to call you Cacklehofer. I believe it's Cacklehofer, but I used to like that name because it's German. So how are you doing tonight, Cacklehofer?
Doing great. Glad to be back on. And, things have been really busy. It's been a while since I've been on, so I'm excited to be back.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have a text message in here from one of our dear supporters. I forgot exactly how he phrased it. But listen, you guys, you two young bucks, you can't let us down. We have to always give them the black flag. Never 1 minute's mercy, no quarter. So whatever you do, I don't care how y'all do this show, but do not let up. Hoist the black flag. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So, guys, I just told the audience, you guys are going to finish doing your bit on what happened in Charlottesville. I'm very proud. I'm very, very, very proud to say I think Blood River Radio is probably the only radio station in the world that had every single one of our hosts, co-hosts, assistants had boots on the ground in Charlottesville. They were there. The two guys on the show tonight were there. As a matter of fact, I rode to Charlottesville back and forth with old Matt. But anyway, Matt, I'll let you lead off since I think you're a little older, and we honor seniority around here. So go ahead, Matt. Tell the audience what we're going to do, and I'm going to shut up and get out of your way and bring you guys in and out of the breaks. Go ahead.
Well, first I'll start with a Bible verse. I forget exactly what book it comes out of. It may be James, Titus, or Timothy. I'm not sure exactly, but it's a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And simple phrase, but it's true. You can't co-mix with evil people and expect that you're going to live peaceably beside them. The story of America since 1865 has been evil people living among us and forcing their way over us, their way of life. And you can see a progression through the years of that getting worse and worse and worse. And the Bible gives another verse. It says, don't cast your pearls before swine. It's telling the Christians not to compromise with the gospel. You've got nothing to compromise with Satan. Satan has absolutely nothing. He's going to lose in the end. You have everything, Christian. Why are you allowing these Satanists and these pedophiles to rule over you and tell you how to live? And tell you that they want to compromise with you. Don't compromise with Satan. The story of Charlottesville, let me sum it up in a few words. Tyrants oppressed innocent people out in the streets who were there with the right to protest the removal of our statues. And we were attacked and our freedoms were stolen away from us. And nobody in America stood up for us when it mattered most. The days right after Charlottesville were confounded with all these different reports and stories. And instead of people rallying behind real freedom and real justice, everybody cowered away into their little hidey holes and said they're a little sad, you know, that happened, but they're not with us, that they couldn't be associated with those kind of people. Well, folks, let's fast forward 3 years to now, 4 years to now. What about the January 6th people? Have things gotten any better in America? They're coming after you. I don't know what it's going to take to get you to wake up. I don't know what it's going to take to get you to get off the couch and start doing stuff. Start doing stuff for your own self, your own freedom. Start doing things for a collective freedom and collectively our people. What is it going to take? And we can tell our story. You can listen up. But right now I'm going to kick the ball over to Jacob and let him run with it.
Thank you, Matt. And a fantastic introduction there. Yeah, you know, folks, we're in a climate today where cancel culture has gotten to such ridiculous extremes that even moderate conservatives, even liberals, you have classical liberals like Dave Rubin, who's a sodomite and a Jewish fellow, makes a lot of good points on his program, but you know, he is what he is. And all he does on his program is he has honest discussions with conservative people and brings people from, you know, all across the political spectrum on his show. And for doing that alone, this guy gets attacked and demonized as a white supremacist. Another really flamboyant former homosexual, he's converted to Christianity now and renounced sodomy, but Milo Yiannopoulos, back when he was still very flamboyant and most of his talking points were just refuting third wave feminism insanity, was being called the same thing. You know, we've reached this progression now to where you can't be a moderate. If you are anything but a rabid, frothing at the mouth, hate-filled, communist-sympathizing or outright communist-endorsing maniac, you get called a evil Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. You know, that's all one word, you know, evil Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews. You cannot make any kind of a remotely contrary point. And it's gone beyond that. It's gone beyond that, actually. Now, if you, you can be a Hollywood A-list actor.
Chuck,
like
we got to go to
Kraft.
A break. We have to go to our first break. Hold that thought. So as soon as we come back from this first break, we're going to go right back to Jacob. He's making some great, great points. Be right back, folks.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for listening tonight. We got Alan down in Florida, man, and I hope I promised him we're going to try to hoist that black flag. I hope we do, because he will sure let us know if we don't. But anyway, we're going right back to Jacob. He's making some great, great points. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thank you, Pappy. So before we went to the break, I was just talking about the levels of extreme that we've gone to in this cancel culture dynamic. And I was discussing how you can't really be a moderate anymore. Even classical liberals, people that tick made, you know, multiple boxes of progressive status, you know, being a part of that special favored class, still get attacked just for having conversations with people from across the aisle, you know, guys like Dave Rubin and whatnot. And so this is where we're at. And like Matt was saying earlier, this isn't an accident. This came about because when the more alt-right oriented, when the more hard right oriented people went out to Charlottesville, when Jason Kessler organized the rally, obtained a fully lawful permit, you know, had all the permissions and everything to hold the event and publicly, peacefully protest the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee, and the state cracked down on us in league, for the first time so flagrantly in league with Antifa, BLM, and other terrorist groups like that, actual terrorist groups. The moderates dove for cover, and they all said that we were idiots and were practically echoing CNN's talking points and all but saying, not saying they actually were saying this, but in some ways you feel kind of like they might as well have been, all but saying we all deserve to be lined up against the wall and shot just for being there. And now look at it. Look at the situation we're in. You can't even be a moderate or even a classical liberal who has conversations with conservative people without coming under attack from this cancel culture mob of psychopaths.
So let's get down to what happened on Charlottesville. Let's get
Let me ask him one quick question, and then I'm going to go right back to you. Jacob, you know, you said back earlier, excuse me, man, I've asked this question, and you all both can mull it over, give me your answers. So this question goes to both of you people, kind of in relation to what Jacob just got through saying. Jacob has a commercial on Blood River Radio, and it says something like, you know, even when fire, God called fire down from heaven, I can never remember if it's Elijah or Elijah that called fire down from heaven. But it did, and it still didn't wake the people up. So I'm asking you, and I told Jacob and Matt during the break, we had all these people. I met some people from Minneapolis, St. Paul about 6 months or a year ago when Minneapolis, St. Paul was being burned to the ground. And I asked them, how do the people feel up there that have had their businesses smashed, the white people, and their homes set on fire? Because they told me I couldn't have a Trump sticker up there or they would burn my house down. And I said, well, what about the people that have had their homes burned? And they said, believe it or not, they said, well, a lot of them, if not most of them, say that they deserve to have their homes built burned down because of white privilege. So my question to you guys is, are they black? Can they be woken up? If they hadn't been awakened yet by what's going on in this country, and I won't even go into it because everybody that listens to this show knows the hell is being unleashed on us. Are they being blinded by Satan? Is that the reason they can't see what's going on around them? Go to Jacob first. You give me your answer. Then go ahead, and then Matt. And then after Matt gives me his answer, Matt can make the point he was going to make a second ago. Go ahead, Jacob.
I would say the short answer is yes, emphatically yes. People, I'm fully convinced that a major reason why things are the way that they are today, the reason why people are so cognitively dissonant about so many things, and why so many people, even in our circles, even people who know the score, who know what's going on, are so fractured and divided and just seemingly myopic about really obvious things, things you don't even have to be some kind of a scholar to know. I think it's degrees of demonic oppression and outright demonic influence in some cases.
How about you, Matt? What do you say?
Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what that means, people, is it doesn't matter if you're awake or asleep or whatever. You still must be vigilant because Satan is on the prowl. He is a roaring lion. Get that image in your mind. These people are blinded by Satan, and no less, because if you won't stand up and protect your own livelihood, even your own livelihood, not your neighbors or helping someone who's been beat down in the street, if you won't stand up for your own self, let me bring that to a point. If you run a store on a downtown main street and there it's being raided and looted by thugs and you won't stand up for your own store, you're worthless and you do not deserve to exist. If you won't stand up for your own livelihood, you do not deserve to exist. I don't care if that sounds harsh or whatever, but you you definitely won't stand up for your brethren. So I may as well just have nothing to do with you on my end, as far as my part goes. So Satan is oppressing these people demonically, and they're definitely blinded.
Yes, well, you know what? There's a Bible course verse to back it up. Won't find it right now. I believe it's in 2 John or 1 John. And John was, I'll tell you what, John, besides Paul, was hitting on all cylinders. There's a verse in there. I'll look it up maybe during the break. And it says something like, if people deny, anybody that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're not supposed to have anything to do with them. The verse says that, Matt and Jacob. You're not supposed to even bring them in your house. You're not even supposed to bid them farewell. You're not even supposed to pray for the suckers. I'm going to see if I can find that verse, but you're so 100% right. That's true. Matt, what were the other points you were going to make before I cut you off and went to Jacob a minute ago? Do you remember?
Well, let me add something, because that verse that you mentioned where he's talking about Elijah calling down fire from heaven, the prophets of Baal on the mountain, one thing that they did that always stood out to me in those passages were when they started cutting themselves. Okay? Mm. And once again, if you don't stand up for your own life, your own right to exist, you're absolutely scum of the earth, and even God has nothing to do with you. God sends down fire to burn you up. You people are absolute rejects. In the worst case of humanity, you're the worthless of the worthless. And so, yeah, remember those passages. But we wanted to get down to Charlottesville and what happened. That's our opening salvo about people's response since. But let me tell you what happened on Charlottesville. I was debating several weeks before about even going or not, and I finally decided that if now we don't start standing up, if I don't go to a rally, an event, and make myself physically present, then I'm, you know, subject and liable of the curses that I've already said tonight, today, this evening. So I've decided I've got to go. And I don't know why or exactly what compelled me. It's not any special act of heroism or devotion, but I just thought, now, if not now, never. Is that the question? You know, when, if not now? So I decided to go. As you said, Eddie, I rode up with you, Gene Andrews, Rich, me and Simon Roche was with us. We all rode together in the same vehicle, and we kind of sped there quickly. And
got that right.
We were there to show our support for the monument and a rally that we thought would be rather peaceable. There were speaker systems set up. There were multiple speakers aligned to speak, and we thought we had the protection of the police. They assured us we did. Right before the rally, they tried to reject our permit, and then they had to go to a quick injunction or a quick process through the courts to get us to restore our actual freedom to rally. Well, we went under the auspices of the protections of the court and the police department. We were trying to exercise our First Amendment right to assemble, our right to freedom of speech, all of these things. And the day we show up, we're already getting stories in the newspaper. I read one story in the early morning, the hours before the rally, that they had set us up, basically. It said that they had the police and everything ready to confront us, basically. So I knew we were in trouble, even as early as 6 or 7 that next morning. Then when we get there, the mob is already outside the parking garage waiting on us. A horde of demonic and possessed people. They're just screaming. They're shouting. They're doing everything you can think of that's pretty satanic or whatever, from mocking us to throwing things.
Uh-oh, Matt, I don't know if you can hear the music, but we got to go to another break, and we come back and take up right where you left off. People, hang on to your seats. We're going back with Matt Goodwin and Jacob Tower. We're dissecting Charlottesville tonight. Be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. A major 7.2 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Haiti on Saturday, with the U.S. Geological Survey predicting a potentially high number of casualties and significant economic losses. The epicenter of the quake struck about 7.5 miles northeast of the Haitian commune of Saint-Louis-du-Sud, according to the U.S. agency. Arnold Schwarzenegger on CNN called anti-maskers schmucks in a powerful interview where he rallied against COVID-19 deniers.
There is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy points and availability vary by state.
Former ICE officer Thomas Feely, who resigned over President Biden's border policies, sarcastically applauded Alejandro Mayorkas for admitting all his failures and ripped into the DHS secretary for trying to make the border situation sound like a good thing.
If you're a true leader, you cannot look at the men and women that work for you and look them in the eye and lie to them. That is just not something I can do. I'm not wired that way. I'm a Marine.
Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, a Republican, on Friday announced at a press conference that he had no plans of issuing a statewide mask mandate or requiring state employees to get vaccinated as the state experiences a spike in COVID-19 cases, WJTV reported. Reeves did, however, encourage residents of his state to get the vaccine. Reeves had extended the state of emergency order that was initially going to expire Sunday when he reiterated his stance against mandating masks in school. This is USA Radio News.
Well, dear people, I'm not going to delay anymore. We're going to go, as you well know, you're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie Miller, Eddie Bobadier Miller. We're going to go right back to Matt. He's going to continue his rhetoric right now. Go ahead, Matt.
So we came out of the garage, and the throng was already there to meet us with all their torrential screaming and hollering and throwing of things. The media was already lined up and down the street. How they were tipped off that this would be an international event. Well, I'll let you add the conspiracy to the fact. But anyway, as we're going down the street, tear gas is going off. I got pink goop thrown all over me. I don't know what it was. When we got down to the park where we had supposedly a permit and a court injunction to have a peaceful First Amendment rally, there was a throng in front of us that was blocking our route to the park. And at that point, our leaders decided that we've got to get through these people somehow to get to the park. So we pushed our way on through them and made our way kind of, it was slower at that point, slow progress, because we're having to work through these people as a crowd of, as our crowd was marching down through the street. We got to the park and for some reason, there's this hellish kind of delay that's going on. We're there waiting about 30 minutes. We're already like 15 minutes past when it was supposed to start. And And what happens is the police were in their standard police attire behind us. They all turn and start marching out of there. And all the while, Antifa is assaulting us with all these, like, hordes and hordes of attacks upon our people who were, like, at the very base of the, or at the very front of the park. They were kind of forming a little wall, basically, to try to keep this mob out, away from us, keep us separated. Now, once those police marched off, and I found that very curious, but then as soon as they marched off, in comes this new police unit, which was basically full tactical SWAT at, like, with SWAT gear and everything. And they were basically telling us, you've got to vacate the park. They announced this. This is an emergency, state of emergency. You have to vacate the park. But they got behind us and forced us to march out the backside of the park, which made us, in turn, have to march the long way through the mob back to our vehicles. So we're down there, and we're trying to figure out how to navigate this problem. And the horde of let's call them demonic-possessed people are just all in the streets up through Market Street. We had to walk up through there. And it was kind of like the scene out of The Last of the Mohicans. One by one, people would just jump out randomly and attack you. And the police would stand by and do nothing. I even saw police laughing in different situations. It was completely an oppressive situation and out of control. They had all the police on the ground, so they should have been able to handle it. We even saw the U.S. Postal Inspector police out there. You know they're down to the last man when they're calling those guys in.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just bad. And several of the fights that broke out were the notable ones. One, this DeAndre Harris attacked a guy with a full-out mag light, an elderly guy that was with us. Not elderly, but an older guy that was with us. And clubbed him over the head to a point where he was just bleeding profusely from his cheek. I was trying to doctor his wound up off to the side, and then all of a sudden another guy came from behind him and hit him with a metal pipe. And he just went out straight flat cold in front of me. And I thought, this guy's dead. That was my initial thought. Turns out later he was not dead, but I thought that they just killed this man right in front of me. So several other fights were getting hot, and then all of a sudden one sheriff's officer, sheriff's deputy, let me clarify that, came hustling out to the street and said, y'all move on, move on. And so that was the only time I saw any police actually do anything, and it was a sheriff's deputy. So we split up at that point. One half of the group kind of went to another park, and they were met with heavy police resistance there. And we actually didn't go on. We were there by the police station just kind of waiting to see what would happen and trying to get our party together to get back in our vehicles because the rally was over at that point. It was a little bit of chaos. People were dispersed in all different directions. And just the absolute satanic hordes that were marching all over the streets against the emergency order, because when they declared a state of emergency, they said, you must leave the park and you must get out of the streets now. It's a state of emergency. And we were forced out of the park, but the hordes of demonic-possessed people were not forced to get out of the streets. So there was an immediate point of basically a battleground set up right there, unfortunately. And that pretty much sums up the quick version of my portion. I saw one of our guys with his head busted up and bleeding off to the left, and when I asked for water, the police laughed at me. And I told him to get me some water for that guy, and I finally said it very sternly, and he went and got me some water. When the ambulance came, they went to the Antifa before they went to our people, even though our people had more severe wounds at times. So, it was a total setup against freedom. And I'll kick it over to Jacob.
By the way, Jacob, for Jacob, I found that verse. It is in 2 John. And it says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Here you go. Here's the punchline. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Here you go. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of this evil deeds, of his evil deeds. So that means, I mean, that's plain as you can get. You know, don't try to get along with these people. They have to be defeated in every way. But anyway, go ahead, Jacob.
It's remarkable how much, how many overlapping incidents there are that Matt's talking about there. Of course, you know, there's certain moments of it that if one of us saw it, we all saw it. And then there's things that, you know, maybe just depending on where you were that day, if you were there, you might have gotten a closer look at. I can absolutely confirm everything Matt's saying. I remember very well the parking garage incident or the parking garage experience. And it was a very surreal thing because, you know, people were gathering and grouping up in the parking garage and, you know, speeches were being given and people were lining up in almost like military formation. You know, it was a sight to see and the level of excitement, even though everyone was expecting there to be some kind of trouble. I mean, no one at that point had any clue that the police were just going to completely stand down in the way that they did. But, you know, we totally expected there to be trouble. And even with all of that, the excitement in the air was just palpable. The moment was, if you've heard the expression, people talk about a moment that's electric. I would say that that's a very apt description there. You know, it was this positively electric moment, and it'll be burned into my mind for the rest of my life, I think, just that instance alone. And then, like Matt's saying, yeah, once we gathered up and some speeches were given and things like that, we're just talking short, like motivational kind of, almost like you know, see in the movies, the period piece movies, where the general's giving a speech to his men when they're about to go into battle, you know, like King Theoden in Return of the King, you know, when he's addressing the Rohirrim before they charge the orcs outside Minas Tirith. So it was very reminiscent of that sort of thing. So like Matt's saying, though, we go out of the parking garage and instantly our guys are being attacked. I mean, the streets are lined with throngs of shrieking people. I mean, not just stuff like go home or whatever either. I mean, you had some of the kind of typical stuff like Nazis go home kind of signs that people were bandying about. But I mean, people just shrieking profanity at us and just all manner of things. And Matt's not being hyperbolic when he says, like, demon-possessed people. You know, it really was, if you've ever been skeptical about that sort of thing, look into the face of these people that are protesting hate, quote-unquote, and tell me that you don't believe that something like that could actually be real. Anyways, we get attacked almost immediately. They formed a wall, a human wall, arm in arm, and we're trying to block our way into the park.
Jacob, we got to go to our last break, young fellow. We'll be right back and continue your rhetoric.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Well, people, this is Awaiting the Bombardier Miller right back. And this is, we said earlier, this is Blood River Radio, and this is our third segment on Charlottesville. And a lot of people may think that we're overdoing it, but you can't overdo this. You know, I'd like to chime in. We'll go right back to Jacob. But Charlottesville, the mayor there, of course, they had a good Jewish mayor. And as you know, a lot of you people might know that Charlottesville, Virginia, that area right there was home. You might as well say it was home to the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson, Madison, who's the other guy? Not John Jay. Anyway, there was one more I can't think of, but there was, hotbed, a virtual hotbed of our founding fathers that developed this country. Also, there are more Confederate generals buried in Richmond, Virginia, than any cemetery in the United States. We have a cemetery here in Memphis, Elmwood, second only to Richmond in the number of Civil War generals buried from the Battle of Shiloh. But, you know, I think that Richmond, Virginia, also there was a lot of the debates for the Constitution there. So what this guy is saying, this mayor, dear Charlottesville, he said he was going to make Charlottesville, Virginia, the number one city of resistance to Donald Trump. The people, like him or not, the number of people voted for him, fair and square election, to the best of my knowledge, the people spoke, but they're not going to let the people speak, are they, Jacob?
Definitely not. And that was what these guys were clearly all about. You know, here you have a rally that had been, Jason Kessler had gone through all the motions. You know, he jumped through all the hoops. He hadn't just, organized a security detail and whatnot for the speakers that were there. He had gotten the permits. He'd gotten everything. You know, a lot of people came down on him really hard when Charlottesville happened in a very reactionary fashion. You know, typical of when things go sideways like that, all the people that weren't there start, saying what you should have done and whatnot. But contrary to what some people thought, Jason, had really gone through a lot of effort to dot all his I's and cross all his T's, which was doubly impressive because he was very inexperienced, in organizing anything that on the street. He'd been involved in activist type things before, if I have my information correct here, but he had never organized anything on the scale of Charlottesville before. And so getting the event pulled off was already an accomplishment in and of itself. And there was an impressive roster of speakers lined up and, the sheer number of people that were there, had to have been a couple thousand people from across the right wing there. So these people were, you have all of that going on. You have that dynamic and these leftists are blocking the street going into the park. They are, through physical force, trying to deny people their First Amendment rights while having the gall and the audacity and the chutzpah to call us, dictatorial, wannabe fascists and things like that. So almost immediately, there were these conflagrations going on. There was a little bit of violence breaking out, but it was largely defensive. I got a pretty good crash course on how potent and nasty pepper spray is. A guy who was near me I didn't get sprayed. A guy who was near me, he must have been 5 feet away or so, got sprayed by one of the protesters on the side of the street. And I just inhaled some fumes from that stuff, and it made me start hacking and coughing like I was, you know, had breathed in mustard gas or something. I mean, it was crazy. I'd never been around the stuff prior to that. So anyway, the league guys were at the point of the column, and a lot of other guys were there too, of course. So they pushed their way in, and we got into the park, and a bunch of guys formed up shield walls on the perimeter. That was another thing that I would relay to the people who weren't there and saw it. That was an incredible thing too. You know, you don't see like hoplite style shield walls very much anymore, except in like riot police and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Jacob, one of the shield wall guys will I'll be talking to him, God willing. He's calling me from prison tomorrow. I know y'all remember Jacob Goodwin, Tamara Goodwin, his mother.
Yes.
He's supposed to call here in the morning at 9 o'clock. I'm hoping to pray it goes through. We're going to try to record him, but I wish we could get him live. But I know you'll be shocked, but the prison, they kind of frown on people from prison coming on radio shows like this. But I just thought I would interject that. I mean, I'm with pins and needles. I hope that comes through. And to chime in, what you said?
Yeah.
If you've ever been in the Army and you've ever smelled any CS gas, you'll never forget it. Well, I don't know where the hell they got the CS gas, but I smelled that, and I saw some people, Jacob, that they must have had a quart of the crap in their eyes coming into the park, you know, before, while we were coming into the Lee Park. I felt so sorry for them. And these, you know what, these Satan-worshipping SOBs, they're such lowlifes. They were beating up women. They even beat the nurses up that were just there to doctor anybody. They were to doctor the Antifa or our guys. They were there as medical professionals, and the Antifa beat the living hell out of them. Go ahead, Jacob.
Wow. Yeah. And it's a violation of the Geneva Convention in actual warfare today to target medics, right? Or am I mistaken on that?
Yes, but it didn't work. I can tell you that flat out.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a long
people
experience.
People still
in that.
Do it, but gotcha. Yeah, but on paper, at least, it's against the Geneva Convention. You're not supposed to do it, and you're subjecting yourself to the highest forms of criticism if you do that. So, it was absolute bedlam, but it was so incredible seeing the way people, you know, people want to focus on the negatives of that day and focus on the end result, but there were so many incredible inspirational things, you know, images that'll be burned into all of our minds, I think, you know, for the rest of our lives. And seeing people just, these guys hadn't gotten together and drilled or anything, maybe some of the small groups of them had or whatever, but seeing a couple hundred guys who hadn't seen each other or even know each other, like locking shields together and blocking of just volley after volley of projectiles from the Antifa side. That was a really incredible thing to see. And so Matt mentioned this, and this was one of the most chilling things there to behold. You mentioned too the medical people that were there. There were a lot of nurses there, Pappy, as you remember. And people had actually brought, you know, like concoctions that they made of milk and stuff, because apparently you don't want to use like water to wash out your eyes if you get pepper spray on you. So they had these concoctions that they made for nursing people with, you know, made from milk and everything. And so that was neat to see too, just how all these different people had come preparing, you know, like wanting to have a peaceful event, but came ready to defend themselves and to help people who'd been hurt. So, eventually all this time, you know, Matt mentioned how they had been telling us after letting this go on for like 30 minutes, the police just stood by and let all this happen. After letting this go on for all this time, the police started bullhorning us and saying that we were in violation of the rules and that we had to disperse. So this was their pretext, apparently, let things spiral out of control so they'd have an excuse to shut down the rally. And this is one of the biggest evidences we can point to when we talk about how this is the biggest example we know of in modern history of the government. The actual government, not just like an FBI plant or something, but the government working arm in arm with communist terrorists to violently suppress the rights of patriotic Americans. And make no mistake, even though a lot of alt-right type people were at the rally, all manner of moderate people were there too. That was one of the most remarkable things about the event, was how much a
coalition. Well, let me ask y'all a quick question, Jacob, before we run out of time. And I'll ask Matt first. Matt, When you were being sprayed, I know everybody there got some of that on them. Thank God I didn't get a lot of my eyes. But did you think it was like, did it make you feel subhuman? Do you feel like we were being treated like insects? I mean, that's what you do to a damn insect. You spray them with
bugs. They had cattle pens. They had cattle pens set up for us. They let Antifa roam free and everything, but they had us in cattle pens, basically. And they actually had our group separated. They had, Jacob mentioned the moderates and the alt-light. They were on the other side, but there was dividers, two rows, like two walls of cattle pens in between us and them, even though they were with us that day. They were with us in spirit and in support. They were there, but they forced them to be in separate. At one point, we had to physically remove those barriers ourselves because we just would not, after the attack started and it just kept on relentless attacks, we would not let ourselves be divided in that way. So, yeah, in they're spraying you with this bug spray, basically, spray, and in some cases actually heard bug spray.
Yes,
they were using like wasp spray and stuff like that. And it is dehumanizing. It's absolutely disgusting that that would even be allowed, but the thing that I want to stress to people is how organized on the human level. Satan was behind a lot of these things, too. Satan was behind a lot of these things, but on the human level, a human agency was definitely organized and strategizing against us that day.
I'd like to chime in right quick, like to back what you're talking up. And you made a great point. Satan always copies God. God, since the beginning of time, has always done his will work through people, human beings. Well, Satan does the same thing. Matt, I'll submit to you that you can go to many Bible verses. One of my favorite is John 8:44, and when Jesus calls these Jews, these Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, he looks them in the eye, Jacob and Matt, and he says, "You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar in the beginning. He's a murderer in the beginning, and you will do his will." Matt, am I going overboard when I say these people right there were actually, I think they were doing their father, the devil. They're possessed, in my opinion. They're nothing but vermin.
No, you're not wrong. It's like a city that's controlled by multiple mafia families. They all joined, the heads of the families joined together that day to attack us. You had the BLM activists. You had the chief police who was organized against us. You had obviously the governor playing ultimately an evil part. You had, you could keep going down the list. The police that day, they were all participating in killing civil liberties. And, even the National Guard was there. The National Guard, if anybody in this whole country and this whole planet is designed to protect our freedoms, it is the National Guard. They sat on their butts and did nothing for us. Nothing. So,
yeah.
I'll let you finish that thought, Eddie.
Oh, well, Matt, excuse me, Jacob, I do believe that those people, I'll get your opinion. But guys, at the end of the hour, don't go anywhere because I want y'all to say something. I want you to say hello to the next guest that's coming on. We have Sam Dixon coming in. He's going to be on. We're really looking forward to him coming on. Well, it looks like we're running out of time. Guys, don't go anywhere. When Sam comes on, I want y'all to just say hello to him, if you don't mind. Tell him who you are and say hello. People, hang on to your seats. We're transitioning to the second hour, and we're going to bring Mr. Sam Dixon on, a great friend. Really gotten close to that man recently. Be right back. Hang on to your seats. Go get you some coffee.